Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon devotion today is based on our gospel lesson. We read in St. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is God's word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, dear friends, is New Year's Day a religious festival like Christmas and Easter? This was a question that was submitted to the Billy Graham My Answer column in the Indianapolis Star last Friday. The answer that was given there by whomever gives the answers was, Christmas and Easter are religious festivals. But New Year's Day is really merely the first day of the new calendar year. That's not exactly accurate, particularly for us. For us, in our religious tradition and calendar, we designate today, January 1st, as the festival of the name of Jesus. 8 days after Jesus was born, he shed his blood for us for the very first time under the rabbi's knife. At the time of his circumcision, since, as Paul wrote to the Galatians, he had been born under the law, Mary and Joseph also gave their son the name that designated his work. The angel said, "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." It is under the banner, we might say, of the circumcision and naming of Jesus that you and I do begin the new year. That God, that year that has just passed, the year that has come, when we know that God will hold his protecting hand over us, that he will take care of us, and that he will see to it that no enemy prevents his grace in our lives. God's grace comes into our lives each and every day in the forgiveness of our sins and in the day-to-day activities of our lives. We see very early in Jesus' life, God did that. The Father did that for His Son. God protected His Son from His enemies so that He would be victorious in the work that He had come to do. You and I, we expect no less and look forward to that same protection in the year to come. Today may not be as big as Christmas, may not be quite as big as Easter. It's exciting that it falls on Sunday so that we can celebrate it together in worship. But January 1st is just as big when it comes to God's grace. It's just as big when it comes to God's plan of salvation and care for us. And kings cannot prevent God's grace. We see, first of all, that their plans against God or to hinder God must fail. And we see that God's plans must succeed according to plan. Oh, Herod had a plan, all right. King Herod the Great had a plan to prevent God's grace. Even with his misunderstanding of the reign and the kingdom of this newborn king, Herod was not in any way going to accept it as an act of God's grace or care for his people. Herod was in power. He was a puppet king ruling over God's people, and nobody was going to take that reign away from him. And so when he heard about this newborn king from the Magi, after the Magi started home, this tyrant ordered that all little boys in the little town of Bethlehem, likely about 200 people, that all the little boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity would be murdered. He thought then that he would take care and eliminate that new king. The sadness in that little town was so great at the death of those little boys. It also fulfilled prophecy. There's a prophecy here about Rachel that really has two applications. Rachel, Jacob's wife, was buried in the vicinity of Bethlehem. And there were two times when she is prophesied as representing the entire nation and weeping, crying, not being comforted when something happened. The first thing that happened was that Israel was carried off into the Babylonian captivity. And the second was this murder of all these little boys, what has also come to be known as the slaughter of the innocents. These little boys are often spoken about as the first Christian martyrs who gave their lives because of Christ. In both of those cases, God's enemies, kings, try to prevent God's grace. First, God's grace to his people. Even as they were carried off into captivity, he was going to preserve the promise and bring them back one day to Israel. And here, he prevented kings from hindering his plan of grace by warning Joseph in a dream to take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. At circuit meeting last week, as we were studying this text, the question occurred to all of us, what must Joseph have been thinking about this time? Of all the young girls I could have picked to marry, I married this girl, And all these things are happening and all these dreams are coming and God's telling me to do all of these things. Well, we know what he was thinking. He listened to God. He obeyed God. But God warned him in a dream. He got up and he obeyed the Lord. And by doing that, this king was prevented from hindering that plan of grace. Jesus was not to die at the hand of some frustrated and angry human king. He was to die on the cross for you and for me. And he did that. And by dying on the cross, you and I have that holy, precious blood of our Savior, Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins. We have that assurance that kings cannot prevent God's grace. Every plan that they have against Christ, against his kingdom, and against his people must fail because they are weak human beings. And this calling then, after Herod died, it's interesting, the Greek word there means end. So really, after Herod was finished, after Herod ended, God, in another dream, told Joseph to bring the child and his mother back to Israel. This time not to Bethlehem in Judea, but to the northern province of Galilee, because the prophets had said that the Savior would be called a Nazarene. And here again, the prophetic word of Hosea was fulfilled in two ways. The first time, God called Israel, or his son Israel, out of Egypt when he delivered them from slavery in Egypt and took them to the promised land. The second time was now when he called his son out of Egypt and brought him back to Israel. What we are seeing on this January 1st is the answer to the psalmist's question that we saw as we sang Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Be sure of this in 2017. Kings cannot prevent God's grace. Rulers of this world cannot stop God's plan of salvation for you or for me or for the entire world. Herod couldn't kill Jesus because God had that plan of grace to offer his son as the sacrifice for our sins. There's much being said today about a war against Christianity. Believe me, that's nothing new. And if you're a student of history, you've known that there's always been a war on Christianity. And that war was in full force with Herod the Great, as he tried to hinder and to prevent God's grace by murdering Jesus. But he failed. Those who fight against the kingdom of God always will fail. Because God's plan must go according to plan and will go according to the plan. Kings will fail because God has done everything for our good. He has called us into his kingdom. And he wants his word of grace to spread around the world. God's plan can't be hindered because it's God's plan and it must go according to plan. Everything that happened in Jesus' life, his very life, was all part of a plan. And that plan was outlined in the Old Testament by the prophets. Everything we see in our gospel today the Magi, the going to Egypt, the returning to Israel, to Galilee, the death of Herod, the hindrance of Herod being able to destroy Jesus. Those are all spoken about in the Old Testament prophecies. And those prophecies are that outline the different parts of God's revealed plan. And we see those prophecies fulfilled in many ways. God's plans must succeed because they are according to a plan. Unlike me, I can't speak for you, I often don't plan ahead and act and do something on the spur of the moment. Sometimes I don't always do the things that I said ahead of time that I was going to do. Sometimes I even do things that are not good for me, and they're not good for those around me. And all of those things happen generally when there's no plan, plus the fact that I am a sinner. But God never acts on the spur of the moment. God never does anything that's going to hurt or harm us. God never says he's going to do something and then doesn't do it. But at the same time, as God has that plan and reveals those plans, like Joseph, we must listen to those plans, to follow those plans. It is God's plan for us this coming year to strengthen our faith in Jesus as our Savior. We will bring about that plan as we are faithful in worship, as we are faithful in hearing God's word and receiving the Lord's Supper. God will direct and protect us in his providence in the events of our lives in the coming year. Sometimes we'll be able to sort of get a sense of what God's trying to do. Other times, maybe not so much. What do we do? Well, like Joseph, we listen to what God is saying to us. We look for what God, where God is leading us. We pray about it. We search the scripture. We seek to follow a way that is pleasing to God. And when we don't do that, we go to God for forgiveness and know that he has forgiven us for not listening or for not going his way. God has a plan for you. And that plan is to prosper you, not to harm you. That plan is to give you hope and a future. That plan is because all of your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Christ, because all of your guilt has been placed on the guiltless, because all of the punishment for our disobedience was laid upon his Son, God will carry out that plan for us. And we hear that plan and we believe that plan. God has a plan for our faith. He has a plan for the regular events of our daily lives. January 1st is a good threshold from which to step out into the future. But stepping out in the confidence that God's plan cannot be hindered by kings or any human plan. That God's plans for us must come about because they are according to a plan that he reveals to us in the scripture. Before we built this addition, we received a pile of drawings all stapled together for every part of the building of our new buildings. But on the cover, on the first page, on the front, what was there, do you think? There was a picture of the completed building. So even before you looked at the individual diagrams, the individual drawings, the individual parts that would all come together, before all of that, on the very front, you saw the end result. You saw what it was going to look like when it was finished. And in fact, is what it looks like now that it's finished. Think of January 1st, not only as the first day of the year, but as the festival of the name of Jesus. And on the front cover of our lives is the circumcision and name of Jesus. That's where we're going. That's how it's going to all turn out. And after we see the end, then we look at the different individual parts that we will have in our daily lives this coming year. We have God's grace. He has built us as living stones into the church. We will arrive into eternal life. Oh, our enemies will try to prevent it all. But God's plan must succeed according to plan. Amen.